Welcome back to another episode of AfroLit. Surprise! Really, actually, a podcast. I know you see us outside doing a lot of different things, being everywhere, partying, music, enjoying the vibes, but really and truly, this is what we're about. This is what AfroLit is. And I had to bring one of my faves for this new episode that we're dropping, just as a little, you know, a little seasoning as to what's to come for AfroLit. I am joined by the beautiful DJ Chameleon, aka Krista from Bed-Stuy, by the way.
Brooklyn, where we at?
Is it too soon for you to rep New York like that?
I was born here.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I can rep New York. It's on my birth certificate.
Oh. Yeah. Why did I think you were born in... I didn't even know where you were born.
You see?
I just thought you just showed up.
Brooklyn. And then... It's in my blood.
Yep. It was always destined.
It was. Always. Meant to be here. Hey, everyone. What's up?
Thank you so much for joining me.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So, as you know, we love to just hop right into it.
Love to
kiki. Right? Yes. And it's just chit-chats, vibes, because I feel like this year has gone by so fast. Like, how?
Like, by September on Friday.
Literally. By the time they see it, it will probably already be September. So it's like, we're like within the year. Like, only
it's
4
ending.
Months left.
Literally. Is it 4? Yes.
Okay, yeah.
4. I'm bad at math. I think of the year in terms of my birthday. After my birthday,
it's like it doesn't.
That's New Year.
The year doesn't
that.
Exist, right? Yeah. I mean, it is your personal New Year, so
it is
fair to say. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's gonna be a big one because you're doing so many different things.
It's 30. It is a big
one. I always like let the guests say their age because it's like I don't know if you want to put it out there. I mean, 30 is not old though.
It's not.
TikTok has made it seem like 30 is like you're a grandma.
They really have.
Like,
and Twitter, but I realize that like there's just like a lot of small children on Twitter and they shouldn't
right? Like 10-year-olds. Like they're supposed to be 13. It's like, first of all, you're not abiding by the community guidelines.
Like
of
people
X.
Will get into arguments on Twitter and I'm like, do you realize you're arguing with an actual 14-year-old and you are 35? I just hope you know that. As long as you
like,
know that,
their
then we're
frontal
good.
Lobe is not even
it's
even
not
like
even close.
It hasn't even
it's
started.
Just started. If
it hasn't.
If that. Yeah. So I don't think 30 is old. I don't really feel a lot of anxiety about 30, but I think I don't know. There's definitely things that I feel like I might get aged out of. Like I'm trying to go on reality TV one day.
Right.
And I feel like they won't cast me if I'm 30. So I might have to.
What?
Actually, some of the shows I'd want to go on.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what are you talking about?
What like, Love Island have you seen with anyone over the age of 25?
Because they are capping.
Oh, they are lying.
They
but
are
I
lying.
Can't lie I just revealed my age.
I mean, but they going like, when they find this, going to be like, oh, we don't know.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly,
I mean? Like,
exactly.
What year was that? Like,
exactly.
Now we got to do the math. Exactly. This could have been recorded.
In the future.
Exactly. We don't know. We don't know. But also still, like, even if you're 30, it's like, damn, you look good.
I like
right. So it's like, you're 30. You know? So it's like,
listen.
What? Because I feel like they're making, like, the ageism comes from, oh, now you're, like, ugly. Or now you're unwanted. Or now you can't be loved. So it's like,
I
but yes, you can.
I think it's also like, oh, you can't behave a certain way because you're too old to do this, too old to do that. I think that's more what I see and less like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think maybe because living in New York, like, people age differently here. Like, 30 is not 30 is not the age where you're, like, settled down or anything. Hey, y'all have roommates
people,
still. Please.
I know, right? We live it like we in college.
No, quite
New York
literally.
Is one big college.
It really is. So, like, people age differently here. So I feel like the expectations of, like, buying a house and like having children are just like not on us in this city. But like go to Ohio where I grew up and it's like they all got houses. They're on their second baby.
You see it on Facebook, right?
I'm not yet on Facebook. I went on Facebook for the first time in months and it was just engagement, baby, wedding, house. I was like, I'll be so for real with you. I don't like that doesn't sound good to me.
Right?
It doesn't sound good. I love that for them. I'm like very happy that they're happy
yes.
and that's the life what they want in there. Achieving the life they want.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't feel that pressure because I know I wouldn't be happy.
At least, like, is that forever or is that, like, right now?
I think right now.
Okay.
I'm not in a... I'm in a selfish time in my life right now. and I don't really see that ending in the near future. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm not in a place where I feel like, okay, I've achieved what I want to achieve, and I've had my fun, and I've experienced my experiences, and now I'm ready to, like, bring a life in the world and dedicate my life to that. I'm not anywhere near that. I got a lot of life to live before that happens.
And that, I feel like that's fair, because I feel like no one teaches us, especially as Black women, how to actually love and, like, be selfish.
Yes.
In loving ourselves.
Very real.
You know, it's always like, oh, yeah, love yourself, but then also love your friends and also show up for everyone and your partner, do your job and your partner. Sure,
yeah.
Right. It's never, like, just focus on you. Right. Like, this is a good time to focus on you. Like, exactly. No one has, like, I feel like now a little bit society has, like, embraced that, but it's to a small degree.
Small, especially for Black women.
Yes.
They still don't want us doing it.
They don't want us doing it. And, like, they want us to cater more. I feel like it's definitely with romance. Like, they want you to cater to your partner.
They want you to.
How do you feel about soft life pertaining to that? Like, do you feel like soft life, it means, like, you have to be submissive?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I don't think I ever connected the two, because I wouldn't call my... Well... I was just about to say I wouldn't call myself submissive, but I actually don't think that's true. I just...
the right man has not come in.
I promise you, like, and I've been in relationships in the past that had a little bit of this dynamic, but, like, if I'm a very intelligent person. Like, I believe in my intelligence. I trust my intelligence. I think I'm always
college-educated, y'all.
College-educated, okay. Master's degree. Thank you very much. And, like, even outside of that, I think I have, like, common sense. Yes. I was raised by a strong Ghanaian woman who... told me every single day common sense is not common. Like, I just feel like I have a strong, like, sense of what's right and wrong.
Right.
Like, but if I trust a man, if I trust their sense of what's right and wrong, if I trust they have common sense, if I trust their intelligence, then I will let them lead, because I trust them. But it just takes a lot, because
that trust has to be proven.
The trust has to be proven, right? Because I know what I'm doing. I'm not sure you know what you're doing. But if I do think you know what you're doing, oh, please, by all means, take the reins. I don't want to do this shit no more.
Doesn't it suck when you think they're doing it and then they're not?
And then they're not.
It's like,
I don't know that I've been, like, bamboozled, like, in that way.
Oh, yeah.
I think what I do is accept men that I can't trust to lead. And I know that I can't trust them to lead, but I still pursue them.
Entertainment.
That's my problem. They never tricked me into thinking they could lead.
It's just, you know, they were not the leader. You were the leader.
Yes, I don't like that dynamic. Right. I don't like that dynamic a lot. And, like, so I think, to go back to your question about soft life versus submission, I actually think I prefer to be in a relationship where I can be submissive and, like, live this soft life. It's just, I don't trust it.
Do you think you can really find that in New York?
Ooh.
Like, men are out here just hustling and bustling, you know, just like we are. So everyone, it's like,
everyone's, like, struggling. I mean, the economy right now, New York specifically, median rent is, like, $5,000. Like,
That's why we're selling feet.
No, the market is very saturated. Yeah. It's very hard to break in. And why do I know that? Because I've done my research. Because it was in desperate times. Okay.
Not her, like, knowing some tips. Anyway, you'll find Chris on IG if you got more questions.
You have to find a niche. I haven't found one, so I haven't tried it.
I mean, but clearly you got your niches. You got music.
So besides men in terms of feet. I feel like I dabble in a lot of things.
You were saying earlier that you got 4 jobs. So
I do.
First job. What's number one?
It's just, well, I won't list all my clients, but basically, well, my main job is I work for Refinery 29 Unbothered. Black woman run media outlet.
Period.
Refinery 29 umbrella.
Love it.
And I'm our social strategist. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I do their Instagram, Twitter, TikTok.
And she's killing it, by the way.
Thank you. It's very fun. It's very, like, space to be creative and definitely put me in rooms I've never been in before and, like, opportunities I've never had access to before, so definitely grateful for that. But, like, it's media, and media is, like, the most unstable of industries at the moment. Like,
you telling us?
It's real crazy. So that's always, like, that kind of uncertainty, like, led me to take on more work, because
I don't know, it just
sucks. In this day and age, the goalpost keeps moving, because it used to be, you need one job, one good paying job. Now it's like, if you have one good paying job, let's hope you don't get laid off.
Let's hope
you don't get laid off.
Because you really could be trying to log in, and then you can't. do that.
You could wake up tomorrow and that could happen. So it's like that fear.
I know.
That is why I took other work. It's not even that I necessarily need the money today, but I just need it just in case.
Right.
That, like, my full-time salary disappears tomorrow. Like, right. I just can't trust any media job right now, so or tech or, like, everything.
Right, everything is, right. There's no sense of security.
There's no security. So that's, I think, the main reason. Like, yes, I also like having more money and more money to play with and travel and all this stuff, but, like, it's really insurance against potentially losing the main source of income. At least, at the very least, my rent will get paid. Maybe nothing else. Right. Maybe nothing else, but at the very least, my rent will get paid. So I use social strategy for some other clients as well.
Love that.
And then I DJ.
Exactly.
Yes, I'm a DJ.
And you've been killing it.
Thank you.
Lovers Rock.
Yes.
If you're based in New York on Tuesdays.
Come through come every through. Tuesday. It's
See
lit.
My girl. We even DJed together.
Yes, we did.
Such
we killed
fun
it. We
time. Literally, yes. Such good times.
Yes.
How do you find balance in doing all of those things?
I haven't.
the way you said that.
Let me not lie to the people now. Done. I have not found balance. To be fair, I just started DJing regularly like 2 months ago. I've been teaching myself for a while, but like out in the field. Like,
by herself, y'all.
Ago.
YouTube
yes.
and
well,
inshallah.
No, I had a very generous
oh, yes, you did.
Friend who I DJ at Lovers Rock with every Tuesday, like, show me the ropes and really accelerated my learning. So that was awesome to have, like, a mentor in that space. And I only just started, like, 2 months ago. I took off running, though. Like, I'm DJing very regularly, and it's really fun, and I love it so much. So I think that's why I accept the, like, lack of sleep and the busyness and, like, not having time to,
the payoff.
The unfolded laundry that's been sitting on my desk chair for 2 weeks is just, like, glaring at me every night. I'm just, like, I don't have the energy.
I'm going to get to it one day.
I'm going to get to it one day. But I think because I love it, it's, like, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. But I have not found that balance. I mean, it's late nights. It's, you can't really, like, I spend on Tuesdays till 2 a.m. Like, that'll throw your whole week off. I'm not a young chicken no more, okay? I'm up till 2 a.m. on a Thursday. I'm feeling it on Friday still.
I know.
So, like, and then I'm outside. It's New York summer. I'm outside. You know, I'm having a good time. So, it's like, when do I find the balance? I think, like, as summer ends, it'll help a lot.
Okay.
Because I don't plan to, like, keep up. New York summer is just such a specific time.
That's so true. And I feel like until you've experienced it, you don't know.
You don't. And it's like New York, like, summers here are unmatched. It's like the best time.
Yeah.
And so I want to, like, take as much advantage of it as possible because New York in the winter does not hit like that.
It's depression.
It's depression.
In New York,
and so if
depression.
I want to pay these premiums to live in this city, I'm certainly going to take advantage of the time when the city is at its best, which in my opinion is the summer. So, like, that's why, you know, I'm at the concerts, and I'm at the festivals, and I'm at the Afrogeats parties, and then now that I DJ, like, now I'm part of that environment, which is really fun. But it's not a lot of sleep happening at all.
Do you feel like, out of this, because how many summers have you experienced in New York?
This will be my third summer.
Okay.
No. I moved at the end of summer 2020, so, like, doesn't really count. So
okay.
I had 2021. No, this is my third summer. 2021, 2022,
summer.
2023,
But this summer, like, how has this summer been for you, though?
This summer didn't really summer. I'm working so much.
Okay,
It's a working girl
summer. So it's a working girl summer.
I thought it was going to be hot girl summer. It wasn't. It was working girl summer.
I mean, we had sprinkles of hot girl.
Sprinkle.
Literally.
I had fun. Like, I'm having a great time still.
Yeah.
But it's still summer. And it's still summer.
Yeah.
It's still going on.
Summer is a mentality, honestly.
Very
if we're
true.
Really real about it.
And New York summer ends in October. Let's be real.
Yeah. Because it's still, as long as you don't need, like, a heavy jacket, you're still summering.
If you don't need Kochek, it's summer.
I like that.
If you don't need Kochek, it's summer.
I like that.
Yes. So, but I feel like even 2021 summer ate up both last summer and this summer.
Yo,
summer
I agree.
Every other summer 2021
was lit.
Like, I think it's just everyone, first time people are outside from lockdown.
That's so
people
true.
People were feral. There was still the COVID requirements, which honestly made me feel more comfortable.
Right, that part.
I wish we still had some of those.
I know, right? Because now it's just like people be coughing.
Strain. I started masking again.
Oh, yeah, I mask
I
on the train.
Again.
Definitely
I mean,
mask up, y'all, because.
It's another one.
We might be
in
lockdown again.
I don't think we will.
You don't think so? You think that's done forever?
They don't care about us until lockdown.
It's like, we need money.
They're not locking nothing.
They're
down.
Going to space now, for real, for real.
For real. So like, they're leaving us here. Please, let's all try to be, you know, a little careful. Bit cautious. But I think that's why, like, that summer was just, like, one for the books. Because everyone was just, like, finally. And it was my first New York summer.
Oh, my gosh.
I do feel more, like, locked into the community this year than I, because okay. That was my first summer. I didn't really know when I first moved here.
That's true. We didn't even know each other. Look
we
at
did.
That.
We just met this year.
Right?
This year?
Isn't that crazy?
That's actually insane.
February.
That's insane. Wow. Yeah, we just met this year, but like, so I feel like now I know way more people.
Uh-huh.
Like, now I'm tapped into the events. I'm involved in the events. Now
you're
I'm
making
leading.
Your own events.
I'm making my own events. So it's like, that's been fun, and it's been mm-hmm. fun to, like, feel a part of the community, because, like, that's literally what I love about New York is yeah. how community-oriented it is, specifically the Black and, like, African diaspora community is just, like, mm-hmm. never experienced anything like it. So getting to be a part of that has made this summer really fun. But other than that, I thought I was going to be, like, wined and dined, and I thought I was going to be going on, like, a bunch of trips.
You're going to meet somebody outside and be like, listen,
like you
look good.
Cute
like,
little summer flings and romances.
Right.
Like, what happened? Like,
it's the met is the caliber of these.
Exactly.
They're not having. See, the problem is, I feel like women, we are organizing and having conversation about like why we're not being romance.
Yes.
Men on the other side are not having conversations about how we can be more romantic.
That's so real.
You feel me?
That's so,
so
real.
Like, because there's not that matching of energy.
Yeah. At all.
It's only like one out of the crew, and they're looking at that one like, "Yo, why you could do the most, yo."
Calling them a simp.
You,
see, right
you see,
I want that word banned from the general lexicon.
No man needs to say the word, "Oh, you a simp," to
how
their fellow friend ever again. It's
and I
done.
I just feel like a lot of this is like, I can't even think of the correct word. I saw a word recently that encapsulated this idea that men do everything they do is to impress other men.
I saw that. I think it was like a TikTok and Twitter whole conversation.
There's like a word for it, like homoplatonic or something like that. I can't remember the word, but it's like everything
you homoplatonic.
They do. Like, and it's like, that's like not even derogatory. It's just like everything they
right.
do is driven by the desire to impress other men.
It's ego.
It's ego.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's just an indication that they don't value women's opinions
right.
enough to like be moving in a way so that women feel comfortable around them and women feel like they're an enjoyable person to be around. That's been my biggest complaint is that men are not fun to be around. Like, y'all are not a good time.
Like
and I love male energy and I love
having
male friends. Like, that's really important to me. And I've worked on that this year. I think
you
I've
have.
Done a decent job of like having
some I love your friends. Crew. Your crew
I have
is
a fun.
Fun
crew, but even that's hard to navigate because sometimes it's like, oh, we're friends,
yeah.
but then like some of them might have a crush on somebody else, or like you might be dodging somebody's advances because you
right?
thought we were homies, but now,
like,
now he's saying some crazy
around.
Stuff after some liquor gets involved, and it's
I
like,
know.
Dang, I thought we were friends.
It's like, so I can't like, claim you now, bro.
Exactly.
Word.
So it's like, even these male-female friendships are really, really hard to navigate.
In general, yeah.
Yeah, in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had plenty of drama around that, but mm-hmm. I still think it's important. I don't think... Like, as much as I complain about men not being fun to be around, I still do value male
of
friendships.
Of course. No,
still,
we need it. We need it.
Them,
yeah, exactly. That's why we're talking about it. I feel like that's why we value it so much.
Right.
It's like we still want it around.
Exactly.
I'm not team like, oh, fuck these. Like, yeah, fuck some of these niggas. But
yeah.
I'm not team like, oh, I don't want men forever.
Right.
Like, no, we need that energy. Like, I've noticed how literally just having even like a like gay guy.
Yeah.
In the crew has just provided so much safety
right
in certain scenarios
right.
than like
that's a really good
and
point.
Like than just a group of women
yeah
you know what I mean and it's just like we need men
we genuinely
like,
do and
definitely.
That's a really good point I'm
yeah.
lucky that I have guy friends out here that I feel safe around like
right
I'll be the only girl hanging out with them and I will not feel uncomfortable
yeah.
whereas there's definitely groups of men that if I was the only girl there
it's like
I
got
one
like
one
calling people like can you meet me please
like, literally
like yeah
so that's a blessing but mm-hmm. it definitely even them I listen to the way they talk sometimes I'm just like hey yo this is what y'all
This is what y'all think.
This is what y'all think.
And then you call me like, yo, girl, this is what they said.
The things I hear. And
I know.
I'm just like, I mean, I guess I get like a little spy, like.
I know, fly on the wall.
Fly on the wall energy there. But it's shocking sometimes. Like, this is, it just, the way we approach dating relationships, casual, serious, all is just so different. And I don't know how that bridge will be, or that gap will be bridged. Mm. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I don't know how that gap will be bridged. I don't know. Like, there's articles about the loneliness epidemic of men and all this.
No.
It's like, y'all don't realize it's because y'all gotta do better.
And it's like,
we want to have relationships with y'all. But we're not going to do that at the detriment of ourselves.
Think that's the difference. I feel like previous generations of women just allowed it to be
I mean, they were forced, for the most part. You know, you used to need a man for a credit card.
Literally.
So, like, I always say, I don't know if I came up with this or if I saw someone wrote this or on TikTok or something, but, like, this is the first, we're the first generation where we do not need men for anything. Men before were like a resource that women needed to survive in society, but we're at a place now that we don't actually need men. We want them, but we don't need them. And so men, for the very first time, need to be likable. I promise you, men have never needed to be likable. Grandma probably didn't even like grandpa very much. And she didn't have to. He didn't need that. Maybe. But now, today, for the first time, it's like, I need a reason to have you around.
Because then I don't need you around.
Right. So, like, I think men are really grappling with that concept, and they are not, haven't been taught.
Yeah.
Their fathers didn't have to do this. Their grandfathers did not have to do this.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
You know, they're suffering too, but I think it's a suffering of their own creation.
It is a suffering of their own creation.
But they are also suffering.
And I think that they don't understand how much that suffering is. I think they're just brushing it off like it's not deep when it really is deep.
When it really is.
You know? Because I feel like certain, like, the guys who do know and, like, are called the simps, I feel like they understand how much value having, like, female relationships are. But then it's, like, also not too much on that, because if someone is trying to date them and now all their friends are women.
So let's talk about that. You have a problem with that?
I definitely have a problem with that.
That's a green flag really? For me. If you have a lot of female friends.
No, you can have a lot, but those are your only friends. You don't have any guys. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I feel like I've met men who don't have, like, they have, like, one.
Interesting.
And I'm just like, why are all your friends women?
That is interesting.
Like, are you trying to get with them? Or are they really your friends?
Like, they're trying to get with them?
No, but it's like, I don't know. Like, is it a subconscious thing?
Right.
Like, how do you unpack that?
I'm more comfortable around women, I think, because a lot of male friendships are toxic masculinity.
Yeah, that's true.
And if they're, like, more in touch with their feminine energy and their feminine side, I could see feeling, like, I have a guy friend who has majority female friends. He definitely has more guy friends now, but.
Okay.
He was raised by a single mother, and
I feel like that's a lot of it too.
Like, used to being around women, and I think that's a green flag. Like, men who have female friends, that generally means they like women, like actually like women, not just attracted to women.
They are like women. They value women.
They value women.
That's true.
And so that's a really important quality. And so, man, when I see the discourse from women about I don't trust men with female friends, it's like, do you not understand that if a man has no female friends, they probably don't like women?
That
very much.
Is a big red flag. Like, if you have no women, like, okay, you have to have some. Like, you have to have a variety.
But there are a lot of men who don't have a single female friend. There are a lot of men who don't believe women and men can be friends. And then there are women who actively seek out men like that because they are not comfortable with the men in their life having female friends. And I'm like,
I mean, they are meant for each other, though.
But
let them, too.
I wish they could see that that's a real red flag.
It is.
Because it's really important for, as a woman, to be in community with men who value you outside of attraction. Because God forbid something changes.
I know.
What happens now? You're on the street?
Or it's like you're of no use to them,
you
know?
That's not a partnership.
I do feel like more friends or more relationships need to start in friendship. Because I feel like guys are, and I think this is more so from guys and girls. I mean, actually, it might be equal. Yeah. Where it's like you see each other, you like each other, and now you want to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
Rather than just like wanting to be friends first.
Yep.
You know, and like we rush that process.
That's very true. But I don't know. Now that I've dabbled in the space of dating friends, and it's just, it gets very messy.
Yeah.
It's not that I would need to be friends with my partner.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe taking the dating process slower can have the same effect as opposed to going into your pool of friendships and trying to date those people.
Yeah, okay.
Because then suddenly, like, it's awkward.
Oh, yeah, like, that's
the
true.
The friendship has been destroyed, or, like, you're trying to get back to
And also the other surrounding friends that are friends closer to you than them.
It's not created a dynamic them than the you. Friend group.
Right, yeah, I hear that.
And it's, like, it's just gotten complicated. But it's hard to meet people these days. So, like, sometimes, especially friends, if you're friends, you already have things in common. You're already compatible
it's
in some
true.
Ways.
See, so why people date their friends.
It's tough. It's tough out here. But I haven't even really been trying very hard.
Yeah.
As I say, I didn't get wined and dined. Was I trying?
Yeah.
Did I go out and meet nobody? No.
See, so it's like equal part. But it's like, I feel like we show up. Because I've met some people in New York who literally don't leave their neighborhoods. Like, they leave it, but, like, they don't really explore
it's
outside.
Very easy to do that.
Like, you just stay in Queens or you just stay in Brooklyn.
I
but
do
it's
only
like,
stay in Brooklyn.
But you
I'm
do come. You stop because you definitely went to Le Bain. You definitely go out. You go to Manhattan.
Twice.
Like, you're not, like, you'll go if something's
like,
going on. Like, we about to go to Last Lap. You know, like.
That's true.
You know, it's not like you won't be like.
It's rare, though. It's like once a month.
Okay.
It's like
it
once
is
a
rare.
Month.
Maybe you are that person.
I am. Brooklyn is huge. I feel like I'm exploring.
I'm
There's
so
plenty.
Done.
What I got
so
to
now
leave
you
for.
And Spike Lee are just like. You're on the same type of time.
That's what
you're not
I'm
trying
saying.
To leave. Oh Lord! What if your husband's in the Bronx? You're not gonna go and see him.
The Bronx.
Yeah.
Nothing against the Bronx. That's just too far.
It's like, yeah.
It's not the Bronx itself. It's the distance. I'm not trying to be in a. If I'm gonna be in a long distance relationship, please be in another city I could go.
It's
visit.
Long distance.
That's a
to
long
you?
Distance relationship. That's an hour and a half.
Bronx to Brooklyn.
That's an hour and a half.
Y'all can meet up anywhere. What are you talking about?
That's an hour and a half. That's
you know you're blocking
distance.
Your blessing.
Am I? Mm. He's at the Bronx?
Okay, I don't know about that. Don't quote me on that.
I don't know about all that.
I don't know.
That's
I'm
a long distance
that,
relationship.
But...
I can't. 90 minutes? Please. I could drive from Cincinnati to Columbus in 90 minutes. That's
really?
Long yes, that's long distance. Okay.
You forget, like, outside of New York, like, people be driving,
people
and
be
it's
driving.
Like,
that's
wow, that's no. long.
So if we're
going
to be long
that.
Distance, and to be fair, I actually think I'm destined to end up in a long-distance relationship. It's just, like, I constantly meet people. The only people I meet and connect with never live where I live.
That is true.
I meet people when I
I've
travel.
Seen it happen in real life, guys.
She has seen it happen in real life. Every time I travel, I meet somebody amazing that if they lived in New York, oh, immediately we'd be in love. And they're just a vacation babe because they live in Ghana. Like, they live in London and Spain. And, it's just... Then, like, I'll meet somebody here and we'll click. And they'll be like, oh, well, I leave town next week. I live in San Francisco. Like, what is...
Like, why are you destined to just...
It just isn't.
Always,
it is. But I actually think I'm kind of primed to succeed in long-distance relationships because my love language is words of affirmation. So, I actually don't think I need a ton of, like, quality time.
Mm-hmm.
I miss people. Like, I've been in long distance relationships before. They're not hard or they're not easy, but I don't struggle with them as much as I see other people struggle with them. Mm. Also, because I have a tendency to throw everything into my romantic relationships. At least, I haven't been in one in a while, so I guess I don't know if this is still true about me. But in the past, I have just every other priority out the window. It's my relationship.
Mm.
That's it. And I have that tendency. And so being in long distance relationships forces me to make sure my life remains. A priority because there's not a person here that I can just like ignore everything for, and it kind of like is a little healthier for me. That's kind of what I've observed. I don't mind it so much. It would be nice if it was like DC or something easy to get
to. Right. So it's
always
not
something
too
really
far.
But like, I wouldn't mind if they don't live in my city.
So then, why couldn't you do Ghana, New York?
That's really that's a five. The time difference is also an issue as well. When it's a 5-hour,
so
time
when you're trying to be like cute and like, it's like they're asleep, right? They're asleep.
It's good morning, and over there it's like, 4 p.m.
It's like, so, oh, how's your day about to start? Like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Like, oh, how was your night? Or,
Time difference makes
hard.
It a lot harder. So,
yeah.
But I'm not opposed to it. But,
and Dutty December is
coming
around.
I cannot wait.
Talk about it. So, this is your second?
This will be my second December.
Second time.
Specifically. Oh, not second time. It'll be seventh time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but first time, second time in December.
And are you going by yourself or are you going with family?
I'm arriving by myself, but I have family that's going to be there at the same time and I have friends that are going to be there at the same time. So it's going to be a cute little family. I'm Ghanaian.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be a cute little family reunion, but also like Enjoyment.
How do you balance that? Like, do you still feel like your family back home sees you as, like, a young child? And it's like, ah, why are you going out late?
They were shocked this past December.
Yeah, talk about it.
Well, first of all, my family was really surprised that I came to Ghana at all.
Oh, really?
Because I feel like, as a child, I didn't really value, like, the trips to Ghana that I had.
I feel that.
I had, like, an attitude about it. We were going the summer. So I feel like I'm missing my summer with my friends. Yeah. Where's like, my American food?
I don't get
food?
This right. Fries. I want French fries.
Actually, the fries in Ghana are better than any fries I've ever had. In Ghana are like, I don't know what it is, what the potatoes they're growing over there. I don't know.
That's how I feel about fries in Kenya. Like, fries are not, it's just African the oil. Potatoes? I think it's the oil.
Like the oil? I don't know, but those fries are delicious. That's one thing. But, like, I want, like, a burger or something. Like, ground beef is hard to come by out there. Like, it's just...
Or they'll make it into a stew. It's like, here's stew. Here's beef stew.
And some cocoa bread.
I'm done.
And so, like, they were just shocked. Like, I think to them it appeared that I had no interest in being Ghanaian. Which, I think as a child, I'm sure that's what it gave. Yeah. But
I mean, also, wasn't cool. It became cool to be African, like, 2 years ago.
I don't know that I'm... have embraced that side of myself because it's cool now. I think it's more that, like, I grew up in Ohio. I was born in Brooklyn, like I mentioned, but I grew up in Ohio. I was put in all white schools. Mm-hmm. I was actually just talking to someone about this, the, like, tendency of, I don't think our generation would do it to our children, but, like, our parents' generation, when they immigrated here, had a view of, like, whiteness as, like, proximity to whiteness is excellent.
Yeah.
And so they had no qualms about putting their very black African children, dark-skinned African children in an all-white school. I was the only black kid in my school besides my sister till sixth grade. Entire school, K through eight. Till sixth grade.
No black teachers either?
One Spanish teacher was black.
Oh, my God.
And that's it. Actually, that might have been in my high school. I don't think there was one black teacher in my K through eight. And so, like, that's all I knew. So I didn't realize something was wrong with that for the longest.
Yeah.
I always felt something was wrong, but I didn't realize something. I didn't know what it was. Mm. But, like, who is encouraging me to, like, embrace my African roots when my parents aren't teaching me the language? They're putting me in an all-white school. My white friends aren't worried about Ghanaian culture. They're not listening to Afrobeats. They're not, like, excuse me, I'm lucky I avoided a country music proclivity. I hate country music still, thank God. I managed to avoid
even
that.
Even Beyonce didn't get you involved a little bit.
That's recent. As a child, thank God.
Yeah. Like Kevin
track.
McGraw, is that his name? I think so.
I don't think that's a Gavin McGraw. Who's Kevin?
See how I just, like, threw that out there?
Right?
Anyways.
But it's like, I don't know. I just feel like there wasn't a ton of opportunity for me to dive into my own culture. And for better or for worse, my parents weren't encouraging me to do that. They're encouraging me to get good grades. Mm-hmm. They're encouraging me to, like, you know, succeed. But they weren't really worried about, like, oh, let me make sure that they retain their culture.
Right.
So I didn't appreciate it. But then I think moving to New York is what shifted my perspective. Not that I avoided it before, but I remember, like, I wrote about this in an article about my time in Ghana. Mm. But freshman year of college, I'm excited. Even though I went to Ohio State, still very white, but it's the most diversity I've seen in my life.
Love it.
So far.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to finally, like, make some black friends, maybe some African friends. Like, go to the African Student Union meeting.
Oh, I love that.
First week of school, I go to the African Student Union meeting, and I look around, and they all speak the language. They already know each other. They're familiar with the dishes. Me, I just know the love. They know everything. And I just was so intimidated. I never went back. I did not feel welcome. Never went back. It's just like, so I feel like there needs to also be a conversation about, like, there's jokes and stuff about, like, oh, it just became cool to be African, or, like, oh, there's people who just decided to be African in 2019. And, like, there's credence to that. But at the same time, there needs to be a conversation about how to welcome those people in, because it's better late than never.
That is so real.
It's better late than never. Like, what are we supposed to do? Just avoid it for the rest of our life just because we didn't come up in it?
True.
So I didn't really feel welcome. So I never went back, which is, like, makes me sad for younger me, because finally when I moved to New York, with some maturity and some, like, okay, I'm willing to put myself
and
out
grit,
there.
You know, because, you know, you're that girl.
I lived in LA for 4 years. Right. I roughed it. Okay, I struggled. I struggled.
Stick a pin on that. Yeah, coming back to that.
But when I moved to New York, it was the first time that I'd, like, been in a robust African community outside of my family. There are a lot of Africans in Ohio randomly. So, like, my family was a strong community. But outside of that, nothing. But this is the first time that it's, like, my friends are African. Like, I'm going to African parties. Literally. Going to African, like, event organizers. Like,
it's also just, like, cross-cultural, like, Caribbean, African, you know.
And the Black
like,
Americans we're doing, are involved as well. Like, it's just everybody is together and, like, it's just so, it's gorgeous. Like, it's stunning to me. It's so beautiful and so robust and so vibrant. And, like, I was willing to feel out of my depth. I wanted to be a part of it. I'm ready to learn. I've, like, expanded my, like, taste and the types of dishes I'll eat. And, like, I booked a one-way, not one-way, I booked my own flight alone to Ghana. And so my family was like, who, Krista, who, like, was never interested in Ghana?
Like, this girl who wanted fries.
Exactly. But then no, they were shocked to see how I changed because they hadn't met the version of me that, like, really embraced this part of myself because I'm now surrounded by it. And, I like, I have no interest in going back.
Wow.
And that's part of why I stay in Brooklyn. I know there's a community in the Bronx as well.
Yeah, there
but
is.
But, like, that's why I stay in Brooklyn, because, like, it's all right here. Like, I have no reason to, like, go to Manhattan. For what? What? Who's there?
Not her shade. Harlem. Harlem.
Okay, Harlem. That's true.
It's a little true. Harlem. You'll sprinkle.
It's a little sprinkle.
You know, sprinkle.
Yeah.
No, but I love that. I love that. I think that that's so valuable, because, like, we don't embrace the people who are still very much African.
They're African. Like,
you know, you
African.
Are, you were always African, you know?
I took an HRC DNA test. Like, 100% Ghanaian. Like, I had to laugh when that came back. I said, wow, there's nothing.
I know, there's not else. Even a little Indian.
Sprinkle of Portuguese or something. No, I mean, thank God. We don't have
right,
over here.
Right. But yeah. But, you know, so to know, I mean, it's one thing to know that, but then also for it to be affirmed and then to see that affirmation around you, too.
And see how it affects you. Like I'm,
when it's not affirmed, too. Because when you went into that space with the African Student Union and then not... And it made you feel small. It didn't make you feel like, okay, you were part of this culture. And no one even tried to... See, it would have been different if you didn't come back and then someone saw you and were like, hey, how come you didn't come back?
Exactly.
You see? But they didn't even care enough to do that. Because you know they saw you. You know how African we gossip.
Right.
So they're right. You know?
But I won't blame them, too, because I was shy.
Yeah,
exactly. I was 18. Like, I'd never been in that environment before. I didn't really know what to say to anybody. And, like, they all seem to already know each other somehow. I'm like, we've been here 1 week. How do y'all know each other?
Because it's like, this is somebody's cousin whose friend who used to do summers together, and then they all got to college. You know how we are.
So I won't blame them too much, but I think it's just the more welcoming we can be to Africans, African immigrants, first gen kids who like are just now trying to reconnect with their culture, the better, because we all have something to offer the community. Like, we're
That's
not trying
so
to whitewash
true.
It, we're not trying to change it. Like, we want to be a part of it.
And I feel like it's just like education and learning, you know what I mean? Like, I get so much shit for my name because I know it's from Ghana.
Right.
Even though, yes, I do have Ghanaian ties that I'm not necessarily all the way close to. So it's complicated, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And everyone's allowed to have that complication.
Exactly.
You know?
It's still valid. It doesn't take it away.
You know?
It doesn't take it away.
You know? So we gonna book that trip to Ghana one day.
You have to.
I know.
I promise you it was the most fun I've ever had. Detty December is the craziest time. I promise you on my New York summer, please. Why am I out till 8, 9 in the morning?
No, I love that.
Getting breakfast and then going home. Please. Every day. Day 7, I'm shaking. I said, I gotta go. That's why I went to see my family. Because I said, I can't.
Oh, yeah, you gotta sleep now.
I had to sleep. But
and do you
crazy.
Feel like, because have you gone before, like, celebrities and all these, like, before
no,
the
so
year of the return?
There was a 10-year gap. Yes, I have been before the year of return, but it was with my family, like, summers when I was little.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we used to go, I think I went when I was, like, 6, 8, 13, and, like, 18.
Because I feel like last year was also epic because now everyone was, like, closed in, and now they're back outside,
right.
And then also now they're doing it in Ghana.
Right.
You know, so did you get to see like Chance and like Vic
Mensa? I did.
Mensa,
I was really
like,
with Chance.
Oh,
Vic
you
Mensa.
Saw them.
Lucky Day. Who else was there?
Oh,
yes,
really?
My man. He was there. You remember me from when I interviewed him.
Oh, not him really being your man.
That is my man. No.
Okay,
he's a very nice person.
Yes.
But no, all the celebrities were outside. I think it was because of Afro Future Fest or
previously
Afrochella.
Yeah.
Which I could have seen that lawsuit coming. That wasn't a good idea. But
you know, I thought they were gonna let it slide. Just cause who cares about Afrochella? You know what I mean?
But there's people who will assume that Afrochella is affiliated with Coachella because like that brings a lot of celebrities out and a lot of just people in general wanting to see that festival. So it was cool. I hadn't really seen Ghana in that light before, so I have nothing to compare it to.
Okay. Yeah, but I was going to ask.
I had a great time. I had a grand old time.
So you were comparing, you were saying summer in New York is like comparable to...
No, it's Ghana in December. Ghana is summer in New York on steroids. Oh. Ghana in December is...
Okay.
Times 10.
Times 100. Okay.
I mean, it's really crazy. Yeah. But it's fun. And I have a lot of friends who are Ghanaian and no longer want to go in December because it's too much.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. I've seen that. I've heard that.
I only had the one. But exactly. I want to go in the spring sometime.
That's what I'm saying. I do want to... I feel like if I do ever go to Ghana for the first time ever, I don't want it to be in December.
Yeah, because I hear it's like great year round. Like, I hear it's still fun. I hear it's still lit when you want to be lit. But, the traffic is much better. The crowds aren't crazy. Because there was definitely points where I felt like I was still in Brooklyn.
Because I feel like this year in particular, because so many people were outside already, like, and because it was, like, more influencers and celebrities, there was a lot more hate. I don't know if you saw that on TikTok. So on TikTok, hate of Ghana.
I saw some
you
of
know
that.
What I mean? And people really throwing shade, and it really brought diaspora wars back. And so I'm just like, you were on the ground. So like,
I didn't experience that on the ground.
But you didn't.
I did see some of that on TikTok. Yeah, it's just like, if you're gonna go visit a country, like, what are you? Why are you expecting America?
You know what I mean. You're but then it's Ghana. Like, but you see everybody else who we would have seen in America,
right? So, and there so were there's like parties a, that I went to, and I said, why am I in Brooklyn?
You see,
I didn't come here for y'all.
You
I didn't
know,
pay all this money.
Just to be at Lot 45 in Ghana.
Please, actually, that was a really fun party.
Shout out to everyday
people.
Shout out
to everyday
people.
Brooklyn in Accra.
You see what I mean? So I can understand why, like, people, especially like Ghanaians and like people who are from Africa, because I feel like Desi December is an African thing. Like, it's all across, whether it's East, South.
Yes.
West, like, we're all having fun in December because it's hot. It's summer.
Exactly.
Like, we're going outside.
It's the time to go.
You know?
Yes.
But I do understand why there can be now people who live abroad and now seeing all these people, especially from, like, the UK and everything.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Let's take a pause.
Remember, UK, everything. And then we got to talk about LA versus New York.
Yes.
And
then
anything else you want to touch on?
No, and then that's it. We're going to wrap it after community.
Is it, how's it going? Is it good?
Yes. It's
yay.
Good.
This is so good. Jen. This man I've written about in articles. Now I'm talking about him on a podcast.
I'm so done. No, but he's fine, though. He's the one you sent me the photo, right?
No, that was London. That was the London bartender.
Oh. You and bartenders. You love a good bartender.
I don't know what it is.
Okay, now I'm recording.
Yeah, now we're recording. I started recording, too.
Are we just going to switch topics?
I am going to switch topics, but we can kind of cue into it.
Okay.
So, okay, we can do three. I just want to confirm, you were talking about turning up in Ghana. Why did I?
Is that what we were talking about? You were mid-sentence something, but I'm not sure what exactly you were saying.
That's what we were talking about.
That's what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Turning up in Ghana, yeah.
Yeah, and just how, this was off. I'm just trying to remember what exactly was recorded.
You were mid-sentence, and it was.
Anyway,
I tried to
we'll
make
transition.
Up,
yeah.
My bad.
We'll transition. It's
cool.
Fine. 3, 2, 1. So, yes. No, I love that you got to experience Ghana by yourself.
Yeah.
Because I feel like more women, more African women, more women who are able to should be able to travel.
Yes, and I felt
like, have
super
that experience.
Safe. I did I split my time with... between staying with family and staying with a friend's family.
Okay.
So I wasn't, like, alone.
Okay,
but I
good.
Spent a lot of time by myself in Ghana. Like, once
would
I
you
got,
go out by yourself, too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look
once
at
I
that.
Once I got comfortable with, like, the neighborhood, the area,
yeah.
like, the places that I was frequenting, like, I knew exactly where I was. I always felt safe. Like, even 2 a.m., I'm Ubering home by myself 45 minutes back to Tama, and I didn't feel like there was anything to worry about. Like, I felt super, super safe there.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great place to go for solo travel. I mean...
obviously,
I don't know
proceed
how I feel
with
if I was
caution.
Staying by myself, I think I would be nervous then.
Okay.
If I was like
solo dolo.
Yeah, solo, yeah. Solo. No one is staying in the apartment or Airbnb or whatever it is with me.
Right.
I don't know if they have Airbnb there. I think they do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Especially now with Chance.
I don't know if it's just like a different website.
I mean, I'm sure there are. But there's definitely Airbnb.
Yeah, home rentals. Whatever it is. Like, if I was alone, then I might feel a little nervous. But that's just me. Anywhere.
Yeah.
Staying by myself, I feel nervous in any city.
I feel like it's definitely a good place to have, like, a group travel, though.
Yes.
Like, if you go with your homies.
Yes. Because I also, the reason why I was so comfortable, too, is because I knew so many people there. Even though I wasn't traveling with them.
Exactly.
And people to meet out.
Yeah.
I could go to the bar by myself, but I knew that friends were there once I got there. So I was like, there's that, too. So keep that in mind. But also, there's a lot more to do besides party.
Nope.
Like, I went to Exim, which is, like, a little western coastal town, which is where my grandma lives, about 6 hours from Accra. And, like, that's just a very, very small, quiet fishing town, and it was gorgeous, and I went to a resort out there, and so there's a lot more to do besides.
And also, aren't there like you can tour like where like slave castles,
which is very heavy. I didn't do this past time, but I've done it multiple times as a kid. And there's Kumasi, where you can go. It's like another like kind of metropolitan area. There's plenty of stuff you could do out besides party in Accra. So there's a
lot. You have a variety.
Yes.
You have a variety.
That's my marketing.
I know, right? That's why you're going to get all the free parties. It's like, we heard you on AfroList singing our praises.
Exactly.
Thank you. Now, enjoy
book me
this.
To DJ exactly.
Exactly.
Book me to DJ out there. That's the goal.
Exactly.
I'm going to DJ out there this December. I'm going to make it happen.
No, you will.
Yeah.
That's easy. Our very own DJ from New York.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Come on.
DJ Chameleon.
Speaking of community and being able to pour into that, talk about or tell me more about how when you came from LA and like being so intentional about building community because of the lack of community in LA.
Let me paint the picture. Drag LA.
Right. We love LA. I love LA.
Positive qualities. Yes. For sure. Not everyone is meant to live everywhere. So I think there's something to be said about the fact that LA was not a city that jived with my spirit and my energy. I came to New York, things fell into place, I met people, I connected with it.
Right.
Clearly New York is the type of place I'm supposed to be versus LA. So I'm not going to say LA sucks just because I didn't vibe with it. However, what I can say for sure is that it is not a community-oriented city. It's a very individualistic city, and like, it's what you can do for people. It's not just making connections and finding community for the sake of it. It's like, oh, who do you know? What can you
do? Do you feel like that's
to?
Because, and not to cut you off, do you feel like that's because of like the type of work that you find yourself doing?
In part,
too?
But I didn't find much difference outside of my work. But to be fair, part of what makes me say it's not very community oriented is because I had a really hard time meeting people outside of my jobs. I had very few friends that I didn't meet at a job.
Yeah.
I was lucky to work places that hired a lot of young people. Mm-hmm. Like I was in grad school, so then I'm meeting young people, and then I worked at a talent agency, so that, you know, your training class every year, every summer they hire like a new crop of people your age. So it was, I mean, we were in the trenches, we were going through it. It was traumatic as fuck, but that, you know, the best
not with a smile.
Friendships are formed out of
trauma.
I don't know if that's true, but some of my like best friends to this day I met working at that talent agency. So it's not to say I didn't make any friends out there, but it was just very few and far between.
Right.
It was really hard to meet anyone I didn't work with. And I would see the way, because I worked for a pretty a very successful hip hop and Afrobeats agent. And like, that was my boss. That's who I like assisted. Mm-hmm. I was an assistant. And I think I was maybe a little bit more unassuming at that time. Like, I hadn't found my personal style. I was also depressed as hell. Like, LA is not a city to be depressed in. Oh my God, it's so hard.
So many people have talked about
LA
that.
LA depression is a different kind of depression. I was going through a breakup. I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
Stop. I'm so sorry.
Oh no.
Oh no. And we're literally about to wrap.
Well, we have a second one, so that's okay.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep it recording. So.
LA depression is real.
It's different.
I've never lived in LA, and I feel like I see LA as I see Disney World. So it's like you go for an experience, you have fun, and then I come back home to New York.
Right.
You know, New York is home. Like, LA is not home.
I don't
home.
Even feel like LA is, like, fun enough to go treat like Disney World. Like, I even would, if somebody, if I didn't like, have friends there, I don't, I wouldn't go visit LA.
I mean, but if something's going on, because, you know, like, with our work, events, it's like, okay, we're going to the VMAs, or we're going to the Grammys. We're going to BET Week. Yeah. You see? So it's like, you go, you have fun. And it's like, different. The chances of you seeing someone and them vibing with you, and then you guys, like, go to some after party are so high. Right. I mean, that can happen in New York, too, but in those times, especially in LA, I feel like that's the case.
It's probably not a coincidence. There's a lot of people coming from out of town.
You know?
It's probably not a coincidence. Not that I'm not calling the locals. Actually, it's the locals that have community.
Yeah.
It's the locals that have community. They are community. Yeah. They just don't. I want to say this on camera, but we're back and we're better. Yes.
So, yes, you were saying LA.
LA depression is a different kind of depression because of that lack of community. It's so hard to, like, find connection. I mean, part of it is it's a huge city. It's all very spread out. You have to drive everywhere. There's no...
Oh, my God. I hate
it. You cannot rely on public transportation out there.
Girl, the bus is great.
Even if you wanted to ride the bus, you don't even go nowhere. It's like
in that little neighborhood. You never see a bus on the highway. So it's like,
so you have to drive everywhere. So you're spending all this isolated time in your car.
Right.
You're stuck in traffic. If you go somewhere, it's not walkable. So you can't just like, oh, we don't like this bar. Let's walk to another. That's not a thing. Mm-mm. So it's just like...
Things close at 2 a.m.
Everything closes at 2. Last call at one.
Yo, that I will never get used to.
So the nightlife is not... Mm-hmm. Nightlife is... You have to know people and you have to get invited to parties. That's what LA nightlife is. If you don't have that, in my opinion, you're not going to have a good time. But I think the issue is, like, the locals do have, and I'm speaking specifically about Black community, the locals do have a really strong community, I think, within themselves, but it's very insulated and they don't welcome transplants. And I understand why, but as a transplant, seeking Black community, it's, like, near impossible to find. I think because of, I'm kind of going to credit TikTok. I feel like since the pandemic, since the rise of TikTok, LA has seen what New York has.
And is trying to copy.
Trying to create that. And I mean, I'm happy they're trying.
Yeah.
Because LA, now when I go back to visit LA, I have way more fun than I ever did when I lived there. There's more stuff to do. There's more. Like, you can now find Afrobeats parties. It's, like, more common. You can now find, like, events catered to the Black community. It's a much more common. Black-owned bookstores and all this stuff that have opened in the last 5 years. Like, I lived there in 2017, so it's like it's been a minute.
Oh yeah.
So it's been building and it's better, but when I lived there, child, it was so difficult and like,
they were not checking for you. They're like,
not. I mean, the men out there don't even like Black women at all.
I've heard that so much.
The Black men. Let me specify. Because the white man was all in my DMs.
Nah, white boy on your roster.
All the Black boys on my roster, but the Black men. I learned to be able to spot when a Black man doesn't talk to Black women. They got a certain look. I can't even really describe it, but they just got a look. I can look at them and be like, you don't talk to Black women. I had to learn that in LA. LA is where I learned how to approach men.
Oh, my God. Because
they don't approach. In general, even if they're interested in you, they won't approach you.
No, I hate that. So we're doing soft life over here. I can't.
I learned how to shoot my shot, and I'm very good at it now.
You definitely are.
I am, but I don't want to be.
Yeah, you got to let that go.
Especially when, like...
We're doing soft life now.
Why am I smoother than you? Why am I spitting more game than you?
Yo.
You can't even keep up with the game I'm spitting. Now what?
It's not like, one. I've run the game, I'm playing it, I'm shooting. You're not even defending. You're not even adding any spice.
You're not even doing nothing. But anyway, so LA was tough for me. Also, in that time in my life, I have to, like, also...
My mental
health was not great. Like, that was my first real depressive episode. I was going through a breakup and then a second breakup out there. And they just, like, rocked my shit. I used to be very, like, relationships were the end-all be-all. So it would just, like, destroy everything. So it was like... I can't blame LA fully for me not having a great time, but there's just, when you go through something in New York, it's much easier to find community. I remember I had a really tough...
I mean, you could be crying on the train and you'll see someone crazy and it's just like, you know, that kind of cheers you up in a way, you know? Crazy,
or like, I had a really tough Sunday one weekend at the beginning of summer. Actually, I don't even think it was summer yet.
It was like one of the first 70 degree days.
And I was having a hard day. I was in bed all day. And so 7 p.m. come around, I'm like, I should go outside, I guess. I sit outside, there's like some sort of block party happening a block away. I sit down, I see some friends. I end up dancing at this block party for an hour and a half. I see some other friends. I make new friends. They're like, hey, you want to come to this next bar? And I go dancing with them for another hour. And I was having a terrible time. Whereas in L.A., I'm sorry, you cannot step out of your apartment and find
Because, like, where are you going to go?
The freeway? There's nothing like that. So it's, like, much easier when you're going through something to, like, remind yourself that there's stuff outside of, like, your little microcosm experience. Whereas LA, it's just really hard in LA to find that. Now that I know people and I have these deeper friendships, now I feel like I do have a smaller but strong community out there. But there's a big difference. So moving to New York, to answer your question, because I didn't make a ton of friends when I lived in LA, I, especially black female friends, mm-hmm. I had friends of color and I had black friends, but they were mostly men. And then my female friends were my friends of color, but they weren't black. Mm-hmm. Except for one homegirl. Hey, Janae. Hey, girl. Hey. We met in grad school. We were the only two black women in our entire master's program.
What?
Yes. And we became instant friends because we were like, girl, you good? You good?
It's like, it's only us.
It's only us. You okay? Wow. But other than that, I did not make a lot of black female friends. Oh, also Jerrica. Shout out to Jerrica.
She's
the best.
Yes.
Watch Claim to Fame season 2. It's already over by the time this
comes
out.
I know, but you can rerun Hulu.
On Hulu. She's so entertaining on that show.
Yes.
So I moved to New York with set a very clear intention. I want black female friends. I'm going to make black female friends. Like, that's the only people I was interested in talking to, only people I was interested in hanging out with.
I love that.
So I got here, because I knew people out here, but it was definitely people I had grown up with.
Shout out to Claire. Yes. Yeah.
I met her through work. I met her in D.C., actually.
Oh.
So shout out to my job for putting me in that environment. But
yes.
I remember I moved here, no job. I moved here mid-lockdown. Like, it was still September 2020. It was, like, locked down. I moved into a four-bedroom apartment, sight unseen. Jerrica actually checked it out for me because she was living out here at the time. She FaceTimed me. That's all I got. Signed the lease, paid for smoke rent. With strangers that I found on Facebook.
Oh, my God. It could have been a
nightmare. Imagine being locked in with
serial killers.
That, like, the worst. They ended up being great. I'm still friends with some of them to this day.
Oh, I love that.
One of my girls tried to give us COVID, so I don't speak to her no more. That was crazy. But other than that...
When there's no vaccine.
Like, there was no vaccine.
You were literally going to go through it, but yes.
She was eating dinner with us, and then she's like, oh, guys, I have COVID. Oh, we're like, oh, no, I hope you're okay. Like, we're worried about her. We're thinking, of course she didn't know. We know we're exposed, but we're like, she didn't know. I hope she's okay, blah, blah, blah. She come back 5 days later. We say, isn't the guidance 10? What's going on? She's like, oh, no, it's 10 from symptoms. I said, so you had symptoms for 5 days. And you ain't mentioned nothing. What are you talking about? Eating dinner with us in my face. I'm sorry. I'm so mad about it.
Right. You see, she's so mad about it.
I didn't catch COVID that time, thank God. But,
thank God.
I ended up, like, having a great time living with them. Actually, it was for the best because it was lockdown, mm-hmm. it was nice to have three other humans to interact with
that's
in
true.
Your home. Like, that's actually true. A blessing. I'm able to find a job within, like, a month, but I just, like...
Look at that.
Yeah, which was, like... Well, I think when you're aware you're supposed to be, things unfold. I, like, recently kind of looked at my life and where I was struggling versus where there was a lot of ease. And, like, the things that bring me the most joy, there was a lot of ease. There was not a lot of resistance. Not saying it was easy, but there wasn't a lot of resistance.
Like,
there wasn't a lot of pushback. Yeah. DJing, the fact that I've been able to, like... take off running with it as fast as I have and like the type of gigs I've already had and I just started.
Listen.
I'm supposed to be doing this.
Yeah.
And that's why there's no resistance. I worked really hard to get good.
Yeah.
But like, so that wasn't easy, but I'm not seeing pushback. I'm not seeing struggle
because
this is something I'm supposed to be doing. So when I moved to New York, I didn't see much pushback. I didn't see much struggle. I didn't have the struggle that a lot of people describe when they move out here. I was
That's
living.
A word. What?
And it was lockdown in September. And like I still made all these friends. I remember I went to the park, Fort Greene Park. First park I ever went to in Brooklyn. I don't even know the difference between the parks at this point. I was just heard there was a park, so I went. Uh-huh. There happened to be a block party happening. I had no idea about it. I don't know nobody. And I'm just like, for the first time, just like surrounded by a bunch of black people. This truly had to happen. And so that weren't my family. So I'm like taking it in. I'm just like, wow, this is so
Here
beautiful.
Here I am. I manifested
like,
this.
All these beautiful black people. And I see this group, my phone dies. So I'm like, damn, I can't even pretend to be on my phone. I just gotta like, I'm obviously gonna get to
draw. Right. It's raw giving, like, life present in this moment.
Krista at the African Student Association. But I was like, no, I'm not doing that again. So I see this group of like very well dressed black women.
Yeah.
And I just walk up to them. I'm like, hey guys, I just moved here. Like, can I hang out with you? My phone's dead. Can I hang out with you? They're like, oh my God, yeah, of course. Gave me a shot. I ended up hanging out with them the rest of the time. Some of them end up living down the street from me. So
no
like,
way.
Get an Uber. We can give you a ride home. I'm still friends with a good number of them to this day. I ended up living with one of them. Like
no.
And that was like my weekend 2 of moving here. And so that was just like, I used that. I took that intentionality and like I kept it up. So I just have just made it a point to really foster the black female friendships that I've made out here. Because it's just like, it's so important. It's changed everything. Like the way people say like, oh, wow, New York looks so good on you and you're thriving. It's like because I'm in community with other black women. That's what's changed. Like, it's because I'm in community with Africans. That's what's changed. I'm in community with myself. I'm connecting to these parts of myself that I haven't gotten to because I wasn't in those environments. That's what's changed. New York is great.
Yeah.
New York is fun. But it's, like, it's those things that are why intention. I'm thriving now. Because it was a black woman who got me my job and I'm bothered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a black media outlet, but like,
still,
she's the one who saw me not working at Unbothered, and she's the one who vouched for me and put my name up for the job. I didn't apply. they reach out to me. So, like,
see?
Yeah, so it's, like, being in community with black women will change your whole life. So,
yeah,
that's what I tell. That's really what, and so when I see black people who haven't yet found this, who haven't yet discovered this, like, secret sauce to success is, like, surrounding yourself with black community, but specifically black women, I get so sad. And it took me a while to realize that something was off because I didn't have that. I knew something was off, I just didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. And so when I see people who haven't figured out that that's what's missing yet, I'm like, I was like, I want to shake them and be like, you need some black friends. You need some black friends. That's it.
Just add some more sauce, some melanin.
That's it. Add some more melanin. I want to save them because It's really like saving a younger me. It took me way too long to figure that out. Mm. Way too long. I wish so bad I had like left Ohio for college. I wish so bad like I had been open to going to an HBCU. I didn't even apply to. I only applied to like 4 schools, but like I wish that was like an option that I was really considering. Like that's I don't have a lot of regrets. One of my very few regrets is that I didn't go to an HBCU because I can only imagine how powerful I would be today if I had started this journey I'm on younger. But,
everything happens for God's a reason. Exactly. Right. And even just what you've shared, like that is so powerful in and of itself too, because I feel like there's more stories that probably align with that than there are those who, even if they did experience the HBCU, still you can feel isolated because, again, like you said, like being African and like having all these different nuances, you know what I mean? Like blackness is not a monolith, right? So there's so many different ways and varieties and shapes that like our environment shapes us too.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's valuable that you have experienced life in this way right now.
It's very true.
You know?
It's very true.
And like that passion that you have for even people who don't have community in that sense, you know, and that's really important too, because I feel like we're entering a stage where, and it's interesting because you work also in digital as well as working in person, and it's like more people are leaning into the digital and thinking that's like replacing the in person,
right?
When I feel like they are two separate,
they're separate
beings.
And they're both important, and you need one with the, you need both.
You need both. Both, they flow with each other.
We exist in a digital world, right? So we're not going to get rid of it, but we need the in-person connection.
Like, yeah.
And I think that's kind of what I see for myself in the future.
Yeah.
I don't see myself staying in social media forever. In fact, I think that the sand on that little, I don't even know what
when
it's called.
The time switch,
it started on the last few grains, to be so for real.
Yes.
But I see myself moving into, like, community organizing space and like
I love that
event organizing and
I mean you were there already, so
I'm already kind of in it peripherally, and I want to like I would love to make it the meat of what I really do in the day-to-day, because like truly finding community out here changed my life. So I'm like, I would love to do that for other people. Like I would love to be a part of that for other people, for sure. That's part of why I started DJing. It's like sounds so like it sounds so corny, but it's like I DJ because the DJs are community curators here. I don't know about other cities, but
that's
in
a
New York,
fact.
The DJs are community curators.
Yeah.
Culture curators.
Absolutely.
They create an experience that like changes lot, truly. Mm-hmm. Changes lives. So that's not me changing lives as a DJ. Like I
that's
sound
what we
so
do.
Corny. There's doctors listening to this. Like
really, girl,
okay.
Bye.
Anyway.
But we all play a part in this society. I mean, yes, we need doctors just as much. But I feel like we need doctors just as much as we need DJs. Like we're both. Well, okay, not all. Not everybody should be. Not everybody should be a DJ. But
yes, and not everyone should be a doctor. My whole family is in medicine. Yes. I knew from jump I wasn't gonna be a doctor. I told them when I was 6. I have a very clear memory telling them at 6 years old.
Wow,
yeah,
you just stabbed somebody in the heart with that, didn't
they
you?
Said, okay, lawyer. I actually thought I was gonna be a lawyer for a while, but you know, African parents—they
yeah,
put
I
the,
know,
the
right? Exactly, literally.
Everyone in my family is in medicine, so I see. That's part of why, like, I don't let work stress me out too much, because it's like my family is literally saving lives. Like, if this tweet goes out late, it's okay.
Yeah, like you, there's really people who are actually doing
life saving.
Yeah,
like, I'm not gonna let any job really stress me that crazy because nobody will die. Nobody will die. It's okay.
I mean, they make it feel like that, though.
I've gotten that feedback before from previous bosses that, like, they want to see me stressed more.
Oh!
Yeah, they're like, why? You just have no reaction. But what? It's because
who's
going to die? Who's going to die? Nobody's going to die.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Someone has actually said, wow.
In entertainment. I mean, the entertainment industry.
I know. The entertainment. Yeah, they do. They prefer that.
They want you scared and stressed. And yeah. I was going to go like, should I go and kill myself? That's my favorite African thing. Should I go and kill myself?
I cannot come and kill myself.
Like, what am I supposed to do? Yeah, I hear that. So that's why I didn't last at the talent agency, to be so
I hear
real.
That.
But yeah.
No. Yeah. That is such a word. And I'm excited. I feel like the future is very bright for the both of us, for you. And I think that more people that can know and understand all that you do. So tell the people, what is coming up next? What should we be excited for? Even if it's not something like super tangible.
Yes.
Why should they, or what should they be looking forward to? And of course, all of your socials are going to be tagged below. So,
forward to, I think DJing is a thing I'm pouring the most energy into right now. It's been a very long time since I've seen myself this energized by something. Like, I'm going out of my way to watch YouTube videos, and I'm watching like DJs just like talking about DJing, and I'm watching
and, like transitions and all that stuff.
Transitions, and I'm listening to people's mixes, and I'm watching their boiler room sets. I haven't had the energy for this for something in so long, so that's how I know I'm on the right track with this. So that's what I'm pouring most of my energy into. So look out for more sets.
Yes,
you know, my personal Instagram's Chris. My DJ Instagram is DJ Chameleon.
Yes,
at DJ Chameleon. Yes. And I'll be spinning all through New York probably for the rest of the year.
In Ghana, if you're going to Ghana.
And in Ghana, Desi December. Yes. I'll figure out where that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's definitely what I'm most excited about. I'm also a content creator, so you can always look out for fire content.
Check out her TikTok, yo.
Me.
It's
check my TikTok
fire.
Out. And follow Unbothered, because I'm also pouring a lot into the content that goes out over there. And you know, I put my face on some of it. Some of it's my brain shot.
She just interviewed Flo Milli.
I did get to interview Flo Milli. I started a series called My Soundtrack, where I get to interview artists about the type of music they like to listen to.
Yes.
And that's been super fun. And that's been, like, so cool to see something from my brain come to life. So, like, show some love to that as well. But, you know, show love to me first.
Everything starts from you. You know what I mean? Just, like, everything comes from our core, from our gut.
Yes.
It all comes from you and flows into all of the other parts.
Exactly.
Yes.
Very real. Well, thank you so much.
Of course. This was fun. Yes. See, I knew this was going to be perfect.
Of course.
I knew it.
Covered so much.
Literally. You know, we could go on for hours and hours.
Oh, we could.
But
we
got
to,
you know, we got to wrap it up. Wrap it up then.
Yes.
I have been your host, Equa PM. Please follow Afrolit if you've been listening for this long. Make sure to stay tuned with all the new episodes that we have coming out. We have some new exciting projects that we're working on. So, yes, you can follow me on all socials, equa.pm. It's below. Subscribe to our YouTube page. Hit the follow on Spotify. Listen to us on Apple Music. Leave a review. Give us 5 stars because we're that star. And stay tuned for the next one. See you soon. Bye.